Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Voices of the Vic podcast with myself, Joe Thomas. And as you can see, I'm joined this evening by Cam Smart. We're here to talk about the Southampton game earlier today, the fourth round game at Vicarage Road that ended in a 1-1 draw. Much to the dismay of, I'm guessing, nearly 20,000 fans in the ground. Obviously, everyone was probably willing a goal to go in towards the end, so we didn't have a replay on our hands, but here we are. Cam, first of all, how are you doing? Obviously, I know you were at the game today. Was it an enjoyable game?
Yeah, I'm good. And yeah, it was enjoyable, as enjoyable as a game that no one really cares about can be. I had fun. Yeah, it was a nice day out. Lovely, lovely weather. I don't know why we're getting all this sun in January, but I won't complain there. So yeah, really, really pleasant day out. How about yourself?
Yeah, good. Yeah, obviously, I didn't get a chance to fully see the game. I've only seen highlights and stuff from the game. But yeah, I've been out with the kids today, enjoying the sun as well. So it's been nice. It did look, from all the pictures, a nice crisp afternoon in the sunshine at Vicarage Road, which, yeah, they're always good days, aren't they?
Yeah.
But yeah, let's jump straight in then with the main talking points today, starting with the starting lineup for today's game. Six changes from Bristol City last week. Did you expect, first of all, to see so many changes?
No, I mean, we know Valerian Ismail likes to put out his full strength team no matter what. I expect he'll go for a fairly strong team in the replay, which I'm sure we'll get to. But it did surprise me a bit to see some of the people that he put in. I suppose given, you know, our hands been forced a little bit, we've got a game on Wednesday, which, by the way, is a load of bollocks because they played on Friday. How is that fair? But enough about that. I'm getting my excuse in early for when we don't win that one. Yeah, I was surprised to see... Backman was no surprise. We knew he'd play. I was a little bit shocked to see, you know, Pollock come in and Searouter, but I was quite content with the lineup. I don't know about you.
Yeah, looking at the lineup, there were a few shocks. Obviously, like we say, Pollock not played much this season, obviously, coming in a... Well, it's not really a nothing game, is it? I mean, we go in with every game wanting to win, obviously. But yeah, that was a shock to see him, especially, like I say, after Porteous had just come back into the side last week, hadn't he? So yeah, it's a strange one, that one. But obviously, we're going to talk a little bit about Pollock later and his performance. Lewis, we obviously expected to come in, didn't we, for Morris? Obviously, we've said a lot on the podcast over the last few weeks that Morris hasn't really done a lot, as he's not really done anything to kind of stake his claim for a starting 11 spot. So yeah, Lewis, obviously with himself being fit, I expected him to come back in today. Livermore was a little bit of a shock not to start, and Searouter coming in there. Martin's coming in for Tom Delibashiru. Obviously, with us having so many games, like you say, Sheffield Wednesday on Wednesday, I think probably Tom Deli will come back in there and into that central midfield position. So giving him a rest today probably was a sensible option. And then obviously the other one up top, which I know you were probably secretly rejoicing when you saw that starting 11, seeing Bio get a chance up front. What did you make of his performance today?
I thought he was good. I thought it took him a while to get involved, I thought, but when he was getting involved, he was doing everything we've sort of been wanting from a striker, all the things that Rajovic isn't offering. I mean, first of all, he must be practicing high jump while he's at home, because, I mean, that leap of his, it gets higher and higher every week, and he towers above defenders. So, yeah, really encouraging to see him winning flick-ons and beating defenders in the air. But his link-up play, I thought it was quite good. Again, I thought every time he got the ball at his feet, he laid it off well. He made good runs down the channel, and that caused Joe Lumley in goal quite a few problems. And there was one time he ran in behind down the channel. Lumley came for it, and he rounded Lumley and put a ball in the box. But, yeah, unfortunately, no one could get on the end of it. What I'd like more from him, and normally this isn't a complaint about Bio, but I thought what was missing today was that goal threat. He wasn't necessarily in the right place all the time. There was one moment in particular in the second half. We sort of flashed a ball into the box. I think it was James Morris that played it in, and it was just begging to be tapped in on the goal line, and that's where you'd want Vakinbio to be, but he wasn't there. But yeah, I was quite pleased with him today. I thought he put in a shift, and yeah, he showed a lot.
Yeah, do you think he potentially looked a little bit off the pace still? Obviously, he was out for three games, wasn't he? Do you think he still lacks a little bit of sharpness in his play still, or?
It's possible, but I think he put in a good performance. I don't think he looked like someone who'd, you know, just been starting again after a three-game ban. So, yeah, I'd like to see him in the team going forward. I think he's up to sharpness now. So, yeah, I'd be happy to see him start on Wednesday night.
Yeah. So a few comments just come in from Mark Schofield. One here says, very surprised Liverpool did not come in after Saints started to turn the screw. Yeah, that was a little bit of a surprise, actually. Obviously, I was following it online. They were saying that Southampton were starting to get a hold of things in that midfield and moving the ball around a bit better with the subs that came on. I was quite surprised that he didn't get any minutes, really. Were you shocked he didn't come on at all?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can look at it two ways. Yeah, we probably did need him in there. We completely lost control of the game at one point. But I thought Sierauto was fantastic in there today. He seemed to get to everything, and he was fairly composed on the ball. You know what he lacks. He lacks a bit of pace. He can get caught out in transition. But I thought he had a good game, and if we see out that game at 1-0, then, you know, we're not asking for Livermore. We're thinking, right, yeah, it's a masterstroke. Livermore's had a week and a half to rest, and he's fresh for Sheffield Wednesday. So there's definitely one eye on that, and I think it's wise to, you know, not fully go for the win against Southampton. Just keep your eye on the league, because ultimately that's what's way more important.
Yeah, we've been saying for a few weeks, haven't we, that we just seem to be getting to that position where we're hovering, aren't we? We're consistently in that top sort of, well, we're in the top 12, but that cluster of teams, that three or four teams that are just outside the playoffs, we just can't seem to get that momentum and that run going to get us into the top six. So yeah, I think with the changes that you made, like you say, Val was wise today to give people a rest, because Sheffield Wednesday, for me, you know, they're struggling still, aren't they? They did have a run of good results. They're starting to sort of dip away a little bit. So yeah, I definitely think we've got a good opportunity there on Wednesday night. We were going to talk about it later, but obviously a comment come in. It was a surprise to see Pollock start, especially as he's supposed to be leaving. I was only content with the lineup because Saints made 9 changes with the big guns on the bench. Yeah, so obviously just talking about Pollock, obviously we did mention that we were surprised to see him in the team today. Obviously our group chat and what you said before coming live on tonight, and some of my friends, they've all been singing his praises this evening, saying he put in a good performance and one hell of a shift. Were you happy with him today?
Yeah, I was. I don't think he was perfect. I think there were a few times he sort of he got caught out by the runs Trey Adams was making in behind, and Hoot sort of had to clean up for him. But there was a good partnership there. They sort of complemented each other a bit. Pollock, a little bit more sprightly than Hoot. He was doing what Porteous does, stepping into midfield a bit, but he was doing it in a much more sort of controlled way. He looked composed. I mean, it's night and day between that performance today and the one at Millwall last season, which I think was his last start for us. So, yeah, encouraging for Pollock. It is weird that he played if he's, you know, supposedly put in a transfer request, but I don't mind it. If he wants to play like that, then give him minutes, let him play, because we do have a bit of a right centre-back problem. I don't trust Sear out of there. And we know Ryan Porteous isn't the most reliable. So I'm sure he's, you know, put his name in the hat for a start in the league at some point, maybe.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously we've been talking a little bit in the background this week about that position. Obviously, we said Ryan Porteous was obviously linked with Udinese temporarily before the brakes were put on that quite quickly because of the not being able to register. So obviously he's going to stay. We know that Pollock's put in a transfer request. Serialta, like you say, that position there isn't exactly solid, is it? Obviously we're probably not going to get anybody in there because they've made it clear that a left centre back is a priority. But do you see that being a position that might chop and change quite frequently between now and the end of the season?
Yeah, because, I mean, traditionally, it's between Ryan Porteous and Francesco Sierra, and they both offer very different things. I like what Porteous gives us on the ball. He's a bit quicker, and I think that complements Hoop a bit better. But Francesco Sierra, monster in the air, and, you know, a pretty good defender, I'd say. But he does lack a lot on the ball. So we do have... it is nice to have two different options there, and it helps with a, you know, you get a bit of flexibility out of that. But now we've got Pollock in the mix as well. If he wants to play well, then yeah, why not give him a game? So I don't think that position is going to be, you know, a set person for the rest of the season. I think we'll continue to see the three rotate, and we'll probably see a bit of movement there in the summer, maybe. You know, maybe Pollock will leave, maybe Sear Outer will leave, maybe Porteous will leave. But I do think we'll strengthen there when we can.
Yeah, I agree. I do think it's one to keep an eye on, especially over the summer. I think, it'd be interesting because depending on what happens in terms of game time, one, two, maybe if not all three could potentially leave, and we could end up with a brand new centre-back pairing at the start of next season. So, yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on. Going into the action then today, obviously Martins put us one up on 5 minutes. Clever free kick. Lumley was completely wrong-footed. I don't think he was expecting it at all. I don't know if you've seen it back, but it looks as though it was a pretty feeble attempt at trying to save the ball, to be honest. Obviously, they weren't expecting Martins to shoot from there because they only put one person in the wall. But nonetheless, I thought it was a decent hit and a great goal. What did you make of it?
Well, yeah, I said before kickoff, right, Joe Lumley's in goal. We have to test him because he's been one of the worst keepers in the Championship for a number of years now. And I just remember so many howlers he's made for the likes of Middlesbrough. And I think it was Reading he was at, where I remember a game he conceded, I think it was 4 or 5 to Rotherham, and he was just all over the place. So, yeah, I was licking my lips at the prospect of Joe Lumley in goal, and I'm sure Mateus Martins was too. He makes two mistakes here. First of all, what are you doing setting up a one-man wall there? I mean, you're inviting Mateus Martins to shoot, and it's just such a pathetic wall. We're quite good at hitting the wall normally, but I don't think even we can do it when there's only one person in it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a good finish by Martins, but it's made just way too easy for him from a Southampton point of view. But not that I care. Yeah, and Lumley's second mistake, I mean, he's got to do better on the shot, hasn't he? He's got to save that. But First free kick goal since Imran Lusa away at Blackpool, I believe. So, yeah, we'll certainly take it. And what a start to the game.
Yeah, it's interesting because I actually put something in another chat. I mean, with some other Watford fans, and I was saying it's not quite as long as the wait we had between Lusa and the previous one, because the previous one before that was Abdi, I think, in the Premier League against Aston Villa. So
yeah, that's
that was like something like 6 years or something, wasn't it?
Actually, no. Adam Messina at Cardiff was.
Of course it was, but in front of fans.
Messina was quite a long wait.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, to be fair, that was still a long way. Yeah, well remembered there. But
yeah, and I don't know how that one went in. It was straight down the middle.
I know. Yeah, we seem to profit from goalkeeping errors and free kicks, don't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, nonetheless, obviously a good start from us. Next opportunity after that was, if I remember rightly, Southampton had a free header from a corner that was just went over the bar. Didn't really trouble Batman, didn't look like it was going to trouble anybody. But obviously the concern is, again, is that we gave somebody a free header in the box without really challenging. And obviously that's just something we just can't eradicate, because we seem to do it quite a lot. I think, if I remember rightly, we conceded the second highest amount of goals from set pieces this season in all the Championship teams. So, yeah, still a concern, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, Southampton were not in that half at all. That free kick was right at the end of the half, and yeah, Southampton weren't in it at all. It would have been criminal if we went in level. We should have been, you know, 2 or 3 nil up, but that's what can happen when, you know, you don't defend set pieces properly. You invite teams to get back in the game when they probably shouldn't. I mean, it's a really, you know, that's an extra, like 5-10 goals a season if you can sort your set pieces out, and you'll concede an extra 5-10 a season if you can't defend them like we can't. So yeah, it's something I really want us to improve on, and it would have, like I said, been absolutely criminal if we didn't go into halftime winning. Luckily, you know, he missed the header, but Southampton continued to get a lot of joy from those situations all game.
Yeah, they did. But just going back slightly, I know there was a point you wanted to touch on from a chance Bio had, which I think was slightly before that, where he had a shot that just went wide of the post. Obviously, it was great team build-up play from Watford for that. And obviously, he picked up the ball. Ball came loose on the edge of the box. I think someone, I can't remember who it was, tried to defend it for Southampton, but was then wrong-footed getting back to it. And Bio just picked it up and managed to kind of get himself into a position where he was able to shoot, and it literally just went wide. Obviously, a good opportunity, but also it was a good passage of play from Watford there.
Yeah, really good. We just caused a bit of chaos in their area, and I really like Bio in the build-up here, because he received the ball back to the defender, and it just sort of glued to him. You know, he held it up, and he waited for a man to come along, and he laid it off. He was brilliant in that passage of play. There was a really good turn from Kone as well, a nice bit of skill from him. And another thing Bio does here that you don't often see from Mileta Rajovic is he gets the ball and he doesn't just blast it. He makes space for himself. He sort of shimmies the defender and he lets go, and that was inches from going in, and I thought he really deserved a goal today. So, yeah, really, really unlucky from him.
Yeah, it was. Let's just have a little look here. Comment coming from Matt. What a great free kick from Mateus. He said in his interview he doesn't really practice free kicks that much in training. But if that's the case, then, yeah, maybe he should practice free kicks if he's going to take more when he starts. Right, so going into the second half, Martins obviously had the shot. I don't know, unfortunately, how early it was into the second half, but Martins had the shot that just deflected onto the post. The keeper was at full stretch going across the goal. Very unlucky, obviously. It would have been a bit cruel to go in. Obviously, we would have taken it, but yeah, nonetheless, great for Martins to get in that position and get a shot away, obviously, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I thought he was absolutely full of it today, Martins. There's been a lot of question marks over him lately, haven't there? A lot of people think, you know, he's too greedy with the ball. He's a one-trick pony and what have you. He was playing on the right today. And yeah, he can be greedy, but I thought he gave Southampton a torrid time today. And yeah, he not only was he, you know, a brilliant threat in behind, really composed with the ball, but he helped us out, you know, a bit deeper. He picked the ball up in deep positions. He laid it off to the right people. And I thought it was a real complete performance. His defensive contribution as well. Can't go unnoticed. He worked his bollocks off today. And he obviously deserved the goal that he got, but he deserved that bit of luck as well from a deflection. And he was then unlucky to not see that in the net. I mean, it looked like a good save from Lumley, to his credit, but yeah, great performance from Martins, I thought.
Yeah, it's interesting because I actually thought he looked quite sharp when he came on last week at Bristol City. I thought he looked better than he had been in some of his more recent performances. He was just that little bit, decision making just wasn't quite there last week, but it sounds like he was a lot more on it today and a lot more on the ball and wanting to cause problems. So, yeah, delighted for him and hopefully think he might start on Wednesday.
I think he has to, yeah. I mean, he came off after an hour, didn't he, or a bit longer. So I think that was with Wednesday in mind. So, yeah, start him definitely. If Dennis isn't ready, if Ken's not ready, and obviously we can't really trust Tom Ince, it's got to be Martins for me.
Yeah, Mark's just said here, Martins looked less predictable on the right and Espria was tricky on the left. So yeah, I think I'd agree with that. When we've seen that this season, that has been the case, hasn't it? It doesn't look as, you don't really know what either's going to do when both of those are playing in opposite positions to what they usually do. So yeah, that'll be interesting to see what comes about on Wednesday. Following that, Backman, he didn't really have a lot to do until this opportunity. He made a save from Mason Holgate, had a shot from about 30 yards. Looked comfortable, one that a keeper should make, but when you look at it from behind, it did swerve a bit. So perhaps it was a little bit of a better save than what people might have thought on first view. What did you think of Backman's overall performance today?
Look, I thought he was okay. He gave us a few nerves on the ball, as we've come to expect from Daniel Backman. A few times he was hesitant to come out. Again, we know he can do that. He did make some good saves, and I don't think his distribution was too bad. There were a few times he set us away on the counter quite nicely, and there was one time he played a long ball quickly off after he claimed a cross, and yeah, he just released it and it was very close to setting Espria away in a really good position. But I mean, I'm sure we'll get to it. I'm not entirely convinced by him for the Southampton equaliser, but we'll get to that. And yeah, I just think he makes the defence a bit more nervous, and he definitely makes me more nervous. You can hear, I'm sure you would have heard it, you know, anyone watching on TV, whenever Backman gets the ball, everyone just loses it. I mean, it's nerve-wracking. And yeah, I'm much more comfortable with Ben Hamer there, as we know. So yeah, hopefully don't have to see Dan Backman for a while.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because obviously now we've got the replay. Do you think Backman will play the replay?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, he's not going to play in the league. So yeah, if we want to get him minutes, put him in the replay. I wouldn't mind seeing Myers Roberts given a go, but it will be Backman, surely.
Yeah, I expect it to be. I think, like you say, with him probably going to, unless something happens to Hamer, right, injury-wise, I think he's going to get very limited minutes between now and the end of the season, isn't he, with regards to Championship football. So yeah, it's probably something you'd expect for the replay. Yeah, going on from that, then obviously we'll go into the goal. It was a bit of a weird one because when I first saw it, I thought it took a deflection first of all. Obviously, it didn't. Armstrong gets the ball on the edge of the box, kind of sets himself up, puts a fantastic, well, I thought it was a good effort into the bottom corner. Backman just seemed to be completely wrong-footed, didn't he? Like, it was a bit strange because you look at him, he's kind of looking at it, but then he's kind of started to go one way and then realised it's not, he thought he was going to curl it into the top corner, but he's just plastered it into the other corner, isn't he? And by then he's not got a chance to get over, so he's just left standing there and watched the ball go past him into the corner. So, yeah.
Look, I was sat in the rookery, and obviously that was down the other end for me, so I didn't get the clearest view at the time, but I thought, right, Backman's parried the cross away, and he's just stuck that ball into what seemed like an empty net from where I was. I thought, is Backman still on the floor? Because I had no idea where he was. And then having rewatched the goal, Backman was in the goal. He was, you know, he'd got back in position, and he just dived the wrong way. I don't know if, you know, Stuart Armstrong might have given him the eyes, or I don't know. There were bodies in between him and the ball, weren't there? So I guess he didn't see it, but it was really, really baffling to see a keeper dive, you know, commit so early for a shot from outside the box. And credit to the finish, because it's a good finish, but I don't know, I'd like to see my goalkeeper diving the wrong way. And I don't think the punch from the cross was particularly convincing. He's sort of sent it, you know, down the middle where they can get a shot away pretty quickly. So yeah, not overly convincing, but I'd be interested to hear if anyone thinks I'm being a bit harsh, or if maybe it's not Backman's fault. I mean, I've seen people blame Emmanuel Dennis for it, for, you know, not stopping the shot from Stuart Armstrong, which I'm not sure there was loads he could do, but I don't know. I'd like to hear another view.
Yeah, if anyone's listening, you've got any thoughts on the Southampton goal, do put it in the comments, and we'll get to that in a few moments. Yeah, just while you mentioned, obviously, Emmanuel Dennis, obviously he came on first appearance back in a Watford shirt for a couple of years. What was the reception like when he came on, and how do you think he did overall?
He got really good reception. I mean, we knew that would happen, but yeah, everyone on their feet applauding him, and rightly so, because I mean, that's why I was excited about today. I wanted to see Emmanuel Dennis, and I was a bit disappointed by his performance. He looked very rusty. He just wasn't, you know, the ruthless player. He seems to not be at his full pace. There was a time he knocked the ball past a few Southampton defenders, and normally at that point you're just expecting him to be, you know, ruthless. But he got caught up to pretty easily. And look, we've got to be patient with him. Like Val said, we've got to be patient, because he said he needs about 2 or 3 weeks to get up to the sharpness. He's hardly had a kick out in Turkey for half a season, and before that, hardly had a kick at Forest for a full season. So, yeah, we need to give him time, and now we can all see what Val meant by that. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to what's to come from him, really.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Do you think... obviously, we've got, what, 2 games? He'd have been with us a couple of weeks by the time the replay comes. Do you think he might, with the replay, and obviously so many fixtures coming around, do you think he might start him and give him maybe an hour and then bring him off?
I think it depends where we're at by that point, because I haven't looked at the upcoming schedule, but I imagine we have a game both weekends around that. And these are the games where you want to be giving players that need minutes a bit of time, because... They're not important games. They're not games you need to win. They're games that, you know, you can use to build sharpness. And yeah, I'd like to see Emmanuel Dennis get at least half a game against Southampton away, because I don't think we'll see him too much in the league. Who've we got? We got Sheffield Wednesday and Cardiff before then.
Yeah, so Sheffield Wednesday, then we've got Cardiff at home, then we're going to have the Southampton replay. And then we're going to have, we've got Leicester at home after that, followed by Norwich away, followed by Rotherham away. So, and then Huddersfield at home to finish the month. So we are literally Saturday, Tuesday up until the 17th of February, so mid-Feb. So there are there is, yeah, 3 weeks where it's going to be quite a big turnaround of game. So I think rotation is going to be quite important over the next few weeks, I think, for the team, isn't it?
Yeah, that is a relentless schedule. And it makes me even more annoyed that we didn't get to play on Friday and we've now got to play on Wednesday. But I'll stop being bitter. I think Dennis will get, you know, maybe 10 minutes against Sheffield Wednesday. We can see he's not quite ready yet. And, you know, maybe another 10, 15 against Cardiff next weekend. But I think, you know, the next time we'll see him get a big chunk of minutes will probably be that Southampton away game. I'm just wondering, what kind of team are we going to bring to that one? Because we've talked about the schedule. It's rough. Are we going to, you know, go full Slaven Bilic away at Reading, or Nigel Pearson at home to Tranmere? Just, you know, let the kids play. Or are we going to do what Valerian Ismail has been doing and go for a strong team, go for the win?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, again, it's definitely an unwanted fixture for Southampton, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know, they're also going to be Saturday, Tuesday now until the middle of Feb. So they've now got a heavy schedule, and obviously they're going for automatic promotion. So especially with Leeds hot on their tails, Ipswich are there. Obviously, it's going to be very interesting to see what he does now. I think I wouldn't be surprised if it's pretty much the same teams that played today. I think he'll probably, again, make heavy changes, Russell Martin, and play a weakened side. And yeah, we'll just be guessing who Valerian's going to play and hope it's good enough to beat that weakened Southampton side. But yeah, just some of the comments that have come in from Marks of Dennis was puffing and panting at times, evidently not match fit. Yeah, bring him on as a sub at Wednesday. Just going back to the goalkeeping thing, not all bad goalkeeping, simple as. Yeah, so, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's he just doesn't fill us with any confidence, does he, Batman? Like, it's such a shame because he was in a position where he was just doing so well and he got himself into the team. But yeah, I think it's fairly evident that based on kind of how this season's gone, he's probably going to be a summer exit, isn't he?
And actually, come to think about it, unless Ben Hamer gets any injuries or any Backman-esque red cards, we probably could see his last game in a Watford shirt away at Southampton. If not, then it will probably be away at Liverpool because I don't think we'd beat them. We're going to have to reflect on what is probably a very hard to judge Watford career, I'd say, because I don't know if I've ever been that convinced about Daniel Backman, but there was a he came in the lockdown season, didn't he? And he'd had that worldie of a game in the Carabao Cup against Oxford, and I thought, right, Foster's not performing, we've got to have this guy in. And he kept loads of clean sheets in what was the best defence in the league, got to the Prem, clearly wasn't at the standard. Last season, wasn't at the standard. This season, lost his place. So, yeah, I wonder how history is going to look back on Daniel Backman.
Yeah, I think if I was probably going to sum up Daniel Backman's career, it would be of the happy memory from Oxford United away in the League Cup, where he made it. It's probably one of the best goalkeeping displays that Watford players had in the last 20 years, I'd probably say. It was, I mean, he stopped pretty much everything in normal time, extra time, and then saved all three penalties, didn't he, for us to win the time penalties. So, but yeah, it's a shame. Like you say, we're all just going to remember him for being a hothead, really, aren't we? That's pretty much how we sum that up.
All the yellow cards for dissent. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's just so many, isn't there? I mean, I remember seeing quite a few at Vicarage Road where incidents have happened and he's like rushed over to a referee and got in a ref's face. And needlessly, I think one of them I remember with Rotherham, where he didn't need to get involved and he ran over to the edge of the 18-yard box and got in the ref's face. And the ref was there quick as you like, yellow card, like, come on, like, but yeah. And,
both of his red cards have been second yellows, with the first yellow being dissent. So, yeah, it's not very captain-y, and I'm glad we've got Wes now as our captain.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Matt has made a comment here. Batman always makes me nervous when he plays. I think Dennis needs to rebuild his fitness and get used to how we play as a team. I think using him as a sub for now. Yeah, it's probably fair. Yeah, he doesn't. It obviously it's a much different side, isn't it, to what he was part of when he was last at Watford. So it's obviously going to take him time to get used to that new style of play, isn't it? Really. But next, talking about the front three as a whole today, what did you think of the way Martins, Yasser and Bio all played together today?
It was a good dynamic. We had Yasser on the left. We tried it quite a bit of late, I think. Yasser's been on the left, obviously normally on the right, but Mateus Martins played there today. And I think I said it last time I was on, I was very, very sceptical about putting Mateus Martins on the right at first, because all the good things he's been doing this season have been from cutting in from the left and, you know, curling one into that corner. And, yeah, he's just terrorised defences doing that. So I thought, why put him on the right when you take all of that away, everything that's good about him, he can't do it on the right. But I think he's been better on the right lately than he has been on the left. I think someone put it in the comments earlier, he's a lot less predictable on the right. You don't really know what he's going to do. And he's got a good delivery on him. He's good at getting in shooting positions, and he scored a good goal today. He could have scored a few more. So, yeah, I thought he was great. I thought Yasser, bag of tricks today. I really didn't want him to come off. And he was quite tricky for us winning that free kick that we scored from. He had a few more moments like that where he just beat his man with ease. And he loves that drop of the shoulder as well. He can still cut in, and he drops his shoulder, he cuts in, and he links up with the midfield. And Bio, I thought, was the glue putting it all together. He was really, really good in the air, you know, really tenacious, held the ball up, laid it off to the right people. And yeah, I'd like to see that front three on Wednesday night. And I think we have got some in there that can work for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because I saw a lot of comments recently mentioning about, with Dennis coming in, Semmer coming back, obviously us having Lewis and Morris down that left side, a lot of people were saying about whether Martins would actually stay and whether Watford might terminate the loan deal from Udinese for the rest of the season. Do you think, I imagine he probably will stay, but do you think that'll give maybe Ken less minutes now, with Martins obviously starting to do a bit better and obviously Dennis coming in?
Well, look, they've all got to work a lot harder now for their place now that Dennis is here. But Dennis has got to work hard too. He doesn't just walk in the team. What's good about Emmanuel Dennis coming in is he can play, obviously, all three positions in that front line. So I don't think we'll ever have a problem fitting him in. But, yeah, as you say about Ken, I mean, I know he's not played for a while, but I thought bringing him on, and I mean no disrespect to him, but I thought bringing him on today is what killed us. We lost all that pace. We lost all that trickery. He wasn't beating his man. He wasn't really getting involved, and the game seemed to pass him by. So, yeah, I mean, he'll be lacking fitness at the moment for sure, but I want to see more from Ken. I don't particularly rate him like other people seem to. I much prefer Martins, and I obviously prefer Dennis. So, yeah, look, there's going to be a big fight for that left wing. I think what we'll eventually see is Espria on the right, Martins on the left, and we might see Dennis through the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, down that right side, we're definitely not as strong as the left. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who starts the most between now and the end of the season. Just touching on something that was mentioned earlier on, Kone. It's a comment from Mark here. Says, if Kone's injured as well as Kayembe, surely we need another central midfielder. Well, I think Kayembe's probably a couple of games, isn't he? I think I read from coming back. So
yeah,
hopefully we'll see him maybe in the South, if he's given him some minutes, maybe the Southampton replay. If not, it'll be the Leicester game, which is the home game after that. But how do you think Kone did today? Was you impressed? Because obviously we were really impressed with him at in the first sort of quarter of the game at Bristol City last week before he kind of tailed off. Did he start the game well today for you?
Yeah, I thought he did. He showed that positivity that we like from him. He got on the ball, he turned a lot, and he was a good threat, making a few runs in behind as well, linking up with the wide men. I think he put in a good shift, maybe tailed off a bit. I completely forgot that he went off injured, and yeah, that is a bit of a concern. But we didn't see Tom Dele-Bashiru today. I can't remember if he was on the bench or not. I'd assume he was. I'm more than happy with him coming in against Sheffield Wednesday. I think he can put in a shift. And I'm more than happy with Georgie Chakwetadze as well, because I thought he had another good game today. So, look, we got options. We saw Tom Ince came on in midfield today to replace Kone. So,
yeah, Mark mentioned that in the comments earlier on, actually. He did say Ince had to play there when he came on. Obviously interesting.
I don't think it's a case of had to play there. I think Ince is very comfortable playing midfield. He played there a lot for Reading last season. I think he can add something there. He's got he's a good striker of the ball, and we're very good at getting our midfielders into those shooting positions, as we've seen. So, look, I wouldn't write off Tom Ince. It doesn't look like he'll be leaving, given all the minutes he's getting. So, yeah, look, he's a handy, versatile option to have, and I think we're pretty covered in midfield, even without Kone and Kayembe right now.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I was just about to mention that, actually, with Ince. There was a lot of talk about him obviously going to Turkey, wasn't there, in the week and stuff. But that seems to have simmered down, doesn't it? And there's not really anything being said about that. So with there only being, 3 days left of the 72 hours left of the window being open now, I can't see anything happening there. Do you think he'll be happy to stay and be part of the team, getting bit part performances here and there, or...?
Well, he'll want to play, won't he? And we've seen that with the way Valerian Ismail is doing things. Anyone can play. It's whoever's performing in training and whoever's working the hardest. Anyone can play. Even Loser had a way back into the team and he got given a chance. So, yeah, look, Tom Ince, if he really, really wants to, you know, start games for us, he'll start putting in a proper shift. He'll start performing. If not, I mean, I'm sure he's okay with sitting on the bench, but we've got plenty of options there, and I'm content with him being one of them.
Yeah. Comment here from Mark saying it's good we've got Sema, Dennis and Rajovic on the bench, as they can all make an impact off the bench if you start with Cameron's three, which I agree with. Yeah, it will be interesting. Obviously, like I say, if we do go with that three, we have got three players there. Like, we know Sema and Dennis. Definitely, obviously, we still got question marks over Rajovic and his contribution to the side. But yeah, I do agree they all can do something. Obviously, we know Rajovic has come off the bench once or twice and done a few things here and there, and he's scored a couple of times, hasn't he? So he does bring something when he does come on. So so obviously going to the replay, obviously, as we've kind of touched on throughout the show. Not really anything, a game that either side wants. Do you expect, as we said before, I don't think many fans are potentially going to bother with it. Do you think Ishmael's going to be too concerned about the game and going up to Anfield? Or do you think, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because like I say, will he go Tranmere and play more kids and give some people a chance? Because we've been saying for a while, haven't we, that Greaves, it'd be nice to see Greaves come in and get some minutes. We've seen actually some players make the bench over the last few weeks, haven't we? I can't think of the players. I don't think one of them is Aidan Coyne, and I can't remember the other person, but there's been some players that have been kind of on the fringe there and getting some appearances on the bench. So do you think they might come in and he might mix things up completely?
Look, I think Val is going to go strength, you know. I think he's going to play largely a first team, but he might, you know, sprinkle in a few players that need minutes, you know. Ken, maybe Dennis, maybe KMB. Pollock will probably get a start. And yeah, it's the kind of game where you'd see Livermore get a rest. So I think he'll go for it. I think he will. And it's a huge opportunity because you saw Southampton today. They put out a backup team. They didn't really, you know, they didn't really care about this game as much. They've got automatics to fight for. They don't want to be fighting for the FA Cup. So I'd imagine they'll go for, you know, a backup team with a few kids sprinkled in like today. So yeah, big opportunity. If we go for a strong team, why can't we go there and win? And anyone who's making the journey on a midweek for an FA Cup replay, they probably deserve to come back with a win. I don't want to watch us away at Liverpool. I don't think any Watford fan wants to watch that. I do need to tick off Anfield, so I'd try and go, but I don't want to watch us at Liverpool. I think they're probably, obviously with the recent news, they're probably bound to win some silverware this season, so no chance of us upsetting them. And yeah, I mean, it could be a good day out. It'd be a good test for the players, see what we've got, see if we can compete with Premier League teams, but I just wish we either held on or lost it right at the end today, and then that'd be it done with. But no.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because obviously, you know, I've been to Anfield a few times, and it's a tremendous occasion. Obviously, seeing the whole the Kop End and the singing and the atmosphere when the players come out is fantastic. And you know, it's for any child or you know anyone who's not been to Anfield, like you just said yourself, and going up there and experiencing it is incredible. But yeah, unfortunately, we've not had the best of luck there since Tommy Mooney's famous goal in '99. So yeah, it's probably it's one where I think Salah will be I don't know whether it's finished by then. So I think it will be finished by then. So yeah, it could be Salah's first game back then. But it's the end of it's the 28th, isn't it? So yeah,
you know what? It's the same day as when we beat them 3-0.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, it is. It's the anniversary of the famous victory, isn't it?
Yeah. So we'll see if he tweets about that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And that'll probably be in the back of their mind, you know. Can Watford pull off another shock?
And, you know, Sarr is on the market again now. He's leaving Marseille. So can we bring him back?
Yeah, I did see, yeah, Marseille have said that they want to potentially offload him. I saw that Villarreal were interested. So there is another team in yellow that are fighting for his signature. So yeah, it'd be interesting. But yeah, so Salah's going to be back by then. So you'd expect Liverpool to be going full throttle. It's a competition that, you know, they always do well in. And yeah, I've got this horrible feeling it will probably end 3-4-5 potentially if we get there. That is. But yeah, anyone who does make the journey to Southampton or Liverpool, providing obviously we beat Southampton, then going up to Liverpool, hats off to you. You deserve a medal. But yeah, just wrapping up then, Cam, we'll just briefly just talk about Sheffield Wednesday on Wednesday. Obviously, probably Val's going to make more changes going back to the side, probably look similar to the starting 11 at Bristol City. Are you confident of getting a result there?
Look, it's one of them. If you want playoffs, you should be looking to beat a team in the relegation zone away from home. Me personally, I don't think playoffs are the be-all and end-all. I just want to see us, you know, keep developing our game, keep performing. And if we can win, then brilliant. I might start getting ahead of myself. Yeah, look, I think we'll see, like you said, a similar team to what we saw last week. I think the big one is who's going to play right centre-back after that Pollock performance, and we got Sear out. But I'd stick with Ryan Porteous there. I think he'll just help us, you know, impose our game away from home. I think he's too good on the ball to leave out, and we can't really get those qualities out of Pollock and Sear out. So, yeah, look, we should be going through, you know, a strong team and looking forward to it. I wish I could be going, but I can't.
Yeah, it's a ground I like doing as well. I was pretty gutted it was moved to midweek. Yeah, just touching on that starting 11, I kind of expect with Martins obviously doing well, Martins will probably start up top and keep that front three, which obviously paves the way for Georgie with if Kone's injured. Georgie will probably slip back into that midfield position with Livermore and Delibashiru, won't he? And obviously we prefer him in that position, driving forward from central midfield. So back in a position that he's obviously done a lot better in since he's come in the side, hasn't he?
Yeah, good problem to have, though. We've got a bit of a midfield problem that we've already touched on with Kone and Kayembe potentially out. So, yeah, look, Georgie is growing by the game. He's getting better and better. He's just driving and driving forward. And, yeah, he's crucial to nearly, you know, every counter-attack we had today. And that was a huge part of our game plan, counter-attacking. And, you know, he's the kind of player you want to sort of pull that off. So, yeah, I'd have him back in midfield like he was today. And Mateus Martins, as we said, I'd definitely stick with him. I just don't know, are we going to go with Martins on the right, Espria on the left? Or are we going to go, you know, back to their normal positions? I just don't know anymore. And that's the good thing about this front three is you get a lot of flexibility. You get a lot of unpredictability. And, yeah, it's a brilliant advantage to have.
Yeah, definitely. Mark's just put this team for Wednesday. I probably potentially would, obviously, question marks over the Porteous. He probably will come back in. Other than that, I do think that's probably going to be the starting 11, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I go with exactly that.
For Wednesday. So, yeah, it's a strong side, isn't it? It's a good side. And it's one I expect to beat Sheffield Wednesday. But, yes, quickly then, score prediction.
Oh, I don't like predicting Watford scores. I'm going to give us a 2-1 win. I think Bio is going to get a goal. I think he's drew a goal. And I think we'll score from a corner. And it's going to be Jake Livermore. Why not?
Jake Livermore from a corner. Lovely. Yeah, do you know what? I'm gonna go a bit more. I actually think 3-1. I actually think we might score a few goals there on Wednesday, because I do think I've watched them a little bit over the last few weeks. They've been been on the highlights a little bit more and over the last few weeks, and they look like they play quite open football. So, yeah, I think with the way we like to play on the counter attack, I think that could benefit us on Wednesday. So yeah, I'm going 3-1. But yeah, thanks everyone for tuning in this evening. Do remember, if you've not subscribed, hit that subscribe button and the like button. And yeah, we'll be back on. I don't think there's nothing being done, I don't think, is there, Cam, for the Sheffield Wednesday game? Obviously, with such a quick turnaround.
I think I had a message come through from a Sheffield Wednesday pod, so they're clearly trying to arrange something. So keep your eyes peeled. Mike said if we get 5 likes on this video, then he'll take me to Southampton away for the replay. So make sure that happens, please.
Everyone who's tuning in, if you can hit the like button so we can get Mike to take Cam down to Southampton. We've been begging him to do that. So yeah, if you're tuning in, please do hit the like button. Let's bypass 5 and try and get on to 10, 15, 20. But yeah, we'll be back and yeah. Have a good evening, everyone, and come on, you Orns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.